Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
Welcome to the next chapter in our Open House Live Different series. Today we take a look at compulsive comparison syndrome, the temptation to prove our value in the world through the successes or failures of others around us. Sophie DeWitt is the author of Compared to Her and One to Ones, and a popular speaker on this subject, who at various times has viewed her own personal worth through what others do and don't have. We begin our conversation with Sophie on what compulsive comparison syndrome looked like in her life.
It's quite a mouthful, isn't it?
Isn't it?
Well, it was when I reflected on the fact that I kept on comparing myself with other women, measuring myself against their standards. And I made resolutions to stop doing this. I knew it wasn't helpful, but I found that I couldn't, basically. So I analysed what I was doing, and I realised that I was trying to stop what were the symptoms of a deeper problem driving me to compare. And that's really what a syndrome is. A syndrome is a cluster of symptoms with an underlying cause. So hence compulsive comparison syndrome, or CCS for short.
What was the net effect of CCS in your life?
I'm middle of three girls, so I've been comparing as long as I can remember. I became a Christian at 21, and before that my comparisons were mainly centred around, you know, things like image and exam results or popularity and boyfriends. But after I became a Christian, the areas of comparison, these areas continued, and I found I was measuring myself on a whole load of new standard as well. So like quiet times, public prayers, or gifting, hospitality, productivity and things like this. So it was after doing this and not growing in my contentment in Christ, as I knew I should be, that I decided I'd try and figure out exactly why I was so stuck in this bad habit and try and tackle it in a deeper way than I was.
Listening to the way you're speaking of CCS in your own life, there'll be many of us, including myself listening right now, saying, well, hang on, at times I feel like this. When does it stop being something that's just a natural reaction to our world and something a bit more insidious?
Yes, it's a tricky one. I think many people have said, isn't it, given it's something we all do, isn't it normal? But as I said, as I was trying to analyse why I was driving, I did feel that there was something driving me underneath the symptoms that was more insidious. But so I do think it's, in some ways, it's something that we all do. I think we have the same basic pattern of the syndrome, although some people will experience it to a greater or lesser extent, depending on their background or their personality or their maturity. So I don't think we all experience it to the same degree. But fundamentally, we all have the same, what I call in the book, looking up symptoms and looking down symptoms. So looking up symptoms would be when I sort of come off worse compared to someone else and I feel inadequacy or envy or bitterness, guilt or anxiety. And then looking down symptoms would be those where I end up feeling sort of smug self-satisfaction, judgmentalism, a sense of entitlement, also anxiety, because how secure is your privileged position after all. So I do think we all have it to a lesser or greater degree. And it's triggered by different things for each of us. We have our own sort of combination of triggers of those symptoms. So I think I personally do think the drive behind it is something that is quite serious, because I think it also has serious consequences in our lives.
So it's not the looking around at our world and our place in it that's the problem. It's how we process what that means about us that is key.
Thanks, Duane. That's exactly right. I think that's right. And the underlying cause, really, that I saw is that it's the problem is having self at the centre. And so there are good ways of comparing. There are healthy ways. I mean, you can compare between products in a shop, and that's a fairly neutral activity. But what we're doing when we compare ourselves against the measures of other people is, I think, being driven by actually the original sin, really. But back in the Garden of Eden, the pushing God to the edge and putting ourselves at the centre. And as we do that, we turn aside from worshipping God and worship idols. And when Adam and Eve did that, and they believed the devil's lies, They became their own bosses, and they were evicted from the garden. And what happens is they lost, and this is what we lose as we do this, the kind of privileges or blessing of being his people. So the significance, the satisfaction, the security of being made in his image, of the stewarding job he'd given them and right relationships, the security of living under his loving rule. And the story of humanity outside the garden is one of a search for those lost blessings, in a way, in all sorts of created things. So in the gods of our imagination, in relationships or money or work or, you know, all those things. And these are what the Bible calls idols. Well, an idol is anything which we look to provide what God alone can give.
When you've shared your understanding of CCS with those around you, and now that your book has been released, what have been some of the triggers that you mentioned earlier on in our conversation? Have you found a common stream where a lot of us have been activated into this space of compulsive comparison?
So as I was processing it, and chatting to people and thinking about my own heart, I sort of categorized them into five broad groups of image, circumstances, achievements, goodness, kind of the whole area of personal morality and integrity and things, and then Christianness, which was just a broad category for all those things involved in our relationship with God and our walk with him and our service of him. So I think image is there for everyone because I think it's so acute in this day and age with adverts and media. It's pushed at us all the time. So there are very few people for whom image isn't some sort of trigger, men and women. But then beyond that, for example, achievements, sometimes that will depend on what was pushed in your family and your background and what expectations were put on you. And circumstances change over different seasons of your life. So, you know, you come into new areas of triggers when you become pregnant and have children as your children grow up, or when you're in certain stages of your career or retirement. So I think we have certain triggers, but they do change over time as well. That's my experience.
To what extent, then, are the cures the same?
The cure, yes. So I guess if the cause and the problem is fundamentally self at the center and trusting in created things, in idols rather than in God, then the cure is going to be repenting of our self-centeredness and trusting in God's provision of forgiveness and mercies new every morning, and then daily acknowledging that God has put his son at the very center of things. So Philippians 2 verse 9 and 11 about Jesus has been exalted to the highest place, and he has the name above all names, and every knee will bow at him. So Jesus is at the very center of what God is doing. And the cure needs to be focusing on him, seeking Jesus' glory, and making his name great, not ours. And as we do that, as we have Jesus at the center, then I think it's then we experience that in him we do have every spiritual blessing, Ephesians 1, verse 3. So in Jesus we have the significance, the satisfaction, and the security that we crave in our relationship and service of him. So granted, these are experienced imperfectly in this fallen world, but we do have a genuine taste of the full and glorious blessings that we'll have in the new creation, and that's what should be enough to give us contentment in Jesus now, and to be able to view other Christians as sort of fellow pilgrims or running mates, if you like, and not rivals.
In your processing of compulsive comparison syndrome, and then in turn your search for answers, what were some of the false starts that you came across where you thought, there it is, that's the way, and then when you got into it, you realised it wasn't all that you'd hoped it was going to be? For those of us who are beginning this conversation with ourselves.
Yeah, I think the most common thing we do when, say, for example, you know, we have a friend who is feeling pretty down on herself and low down the pecking order. Our temptation is often to want to build her up in some way and remind her of the ways that she's in a better position compared to the person she's comparing herself with.
Yeah.
You know, she might say, well, I feel, you know, I'm feeling fat, or I'm feeling you know, I'm gifted or whatever it is, and we'll say, well, at least you've got this. Or at least you are married, or at least you have kids, or exactly, at least your kids don't behave like that.
Yeah.
So I think that's one way we're tempted to help someone. Or another way we're tempted to help someone or ourselves is to sort of go into activism, activist mode, which is, well, if you're feeling large or overweight, then you need to get to the gym and need to go on a diet. And or if you're feeling like you haven't got enough money, get another job or whatever it is. Now, those things are not bad in themselves. So, you know, going to the gym and getting fit or working harder or getting another job. But when they're done with a motivation to try and now out-compete this other person, it's, and the same with the kind of comparing in other areas so that you don't feel so bad, they're basically all still CCS. They're all still part of the problem because your solution is that you're trying to up your position again. So I think the danger is that we're not really dealing with the heart of the problem. So if we want to help someone and help ourselves, we need to go back to that question of, have you got your sense of security, satisfaction and significance firmly in the Lord Jesus? Because that is going to be the only place that is really going to give you that blessing that you crave. Anything else can let you down. Someone else can take that position. Everything else is vulnerable in this life. And to say that being right with God and trusting him and looking forward to the new creation is the only real cure. So I think there are some inadequate cures we try and apply, yeah.
You're sharing your considered insights from the perspective of one who has made this transition from a place of compulsive comparison to where you are now. How did you take those first steps? Getting the momentum up, though, is the trick here.
Oh, yes, and I'm so very much still on the journey. My CCS is still triggered reasonably frequently. I think the difference is so what first happened is that it's acknowledging it and saying, yes, I do have a problem that's driven by something quite serious and out of sync with my faith. So acknowledging it, it's actually the worst stage because once you see it and acknowledge it, you kind of realize you're doing it all the time and it actually makes you feel really rubbish about yourself.
Yes.
so it's kind of, oh, no, I'm doing it again. But I think the journey is just going back to Jesus, time in his word, prayer time, encouraging one another. And the journey I've experienced is one where I think I see through the devil's lies faster than I used to. I see him lying to me that if only I had this or that, then it would be all right. And just realizing that that's just not what the Bible says, that earthly thing is not going to deliver the goods that the kind of the devil whispers in our ear that it will. So I see through the lies quicker, and I think that the progress through the sort of the symptoms and the effects it has on me, I'm managing to sort of not go as fast sort of thing. So I'm managing to stop myself drifting deep down into this either self-pity or the pride or whatever. So I'm still traveling it, but I am finding, in a way, I'm finding now that those CCS trigger moments provide a fresh opportunity for me to go back to Jesus and trust him and put him at the center.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.